Welcome to the Gooder Podcast, where we talk with powerhouse women in CPG about their journeys to success. This episode is sponsored by Retail Voodoo, a brand development firm guiding mission-driven consumer brands to attract new and passionate consumer base, crush their categories through growth and innovation, and magnify their social and environmental impact. If your brand is in need of brand positioning, package design, or marketing activation, we are here to help. You can find more information at www.retail-voodoo.com.
Hi, Diana Frike here. I'm the host of the Gooder Podcast, where I get to talk with the powerhouse women in the food, beverage, and wellness categories about their journeys to success and their insights on the industry. This episode is brought to you by Retail Voodoo, a brand development firm providing strategic brand and design services for brands in the food, wellness, and beverage industries. Our clients include Starbucks, Kind, REI, PepsiCo, Hi-Ke, and many other market leaders. So if your goal is to crush your competition by driving growth and disrupting the marketplace with new and innovative ideas, give us a call and let's talk. You can visit retail-voodoo.com for more information. Well, today, I'm going to reintroduce and welcome back Junia Rocha, who is the co-founder and CMO of Brazzy Bites. Junia founded Brazzy Bites with her husband in 2010 in the hopes that Americans would love the Brazilian cheese bread. You're going to have to pronounce it for me again.
Pão de queijo.
Pão de queijo. Thank you. Okay. So that we want Americans to love Brazilian cheese bread, pão de queijo, which I just butchered. I'm so horrible at that. I'm so sorry. So after appearing on ABC Shark Tank in 2015, Brazzy Bites grew a passionate cult-like fan base. This one here is part of it. And in the years since has expanded to thousands of freezer sections nationwide. In her time running Brazzy Bites, Junia has gained experience in all areas of the business while remaining deeply passionate about sharing their delicious creations with the world. Welcome, Junia. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Diana. So good to be here.
Yes, we were just before we started recording, we were both commiserating how our area here of the Northwest has been sweltering in the 90s this summer. So is it 90 today for you, or is it no? Is it overcast like in Seattle?
The forecast said it was going to be 98. The day started a little cooler. So we'll see if we get there.
Okay.
It has been hot.
Yes. Well, I am so glad to have you back on the show. You know, the last time you were on, we discussed all things Brazzy Bites and your Shark Tank adventure and the importance of having a support network, which I carry in the back of my mind all the time. How have things been going since then? What's happening in your world?
You know, things continue to grow. Things are going well. We survived the 2 years of pandemic, like, you know, so many, like all of us.
Yes.
And it was the last couple of years have been challenging in the food industry. I think that is just fair to say nobody was spared of the challenges.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, as a business owner navigating all of that, it's been a challenging time. And between all the things happening in our industry, from supply chain to, you know, the great resignation to inflationary challenges, it's been choppy. You know, it's been a challenging couple of years, but we're emerging out of that feeling optimistic and excited about the brand. We launched new products. And
exactly.
You know, we've got a great team. And so we're feeling positive. We have a lot of great things going on. And, you know, you just got to, but, it, you know, I can't sugarcoat it to the audience and, you know, to you. It's been a choppy couple of years to be a business owner, to be in the food industry. Yeah. But, you know, we're feeling optimistic as we emerge out of it.
That's awesome. And what's new with Brazzy Bites? Now, you mentioned some new products. I've seen those products, but not in my grocery store, probably because I'm Instacarting it all the time now instead of actually going into the store. Just started going back. Did my first in-person Costco trip last weekend. And I think Instacart is a cheaper way for me to go. My impulse buying was bananas. But tell me a little bit about Rosy Bites. You got some new products, and how are those going? What are they and how are those going?
Yeah. So our core product line that started the brand is the Brazilian cheese bread that you mentioned.
Yes.
You know, we love that product line. We're always launching new flavors and kind of updating that and bringing excitement to that product line. In addition to that, we launched totally new lines and platforms, mm-hmm. but always kind of connected and like with the same values of this cheese bread. So a couple of exciting lines that we launched last year that are hitting stores right now. We launched a breakfast sandwich, also frozen, that is really amazing and delicious. I love it because it's unique. We try to like solve a bunch of problems that consumers have in the frozen, the breakfast category, because you're always on the go, you're in a hurry, you need something that is microwavable.
Yes.
But it tends to end up being kind of have cold spots and being soggy. So anyway, we solved that problem by adding a crisping sleeve to the sandwich. So it sort of toasts the sandwich in the microwave. It's very cool and innovative, and it's also gluten-free, natural ingredients, like everything we do. So love that item. It ended up launching at Kroger nationwide and Safeway nationwide, and it's hitting a bunch of stores.
Okay. So I'm going
love that. It just launched like this July that started to get brought in store. So that's why you might not have seen it yet.
Yeah.
In addition to that, one of our most exciting product lines right now that we're all jazzed here in our business is our pizza bite line.
Yes.
You might have seen that because we are talking about that a lot in our social channels.
Yes.
It's one that we love because it's an evolution. We essentially took like our best selling cheese bread and made it into a pocket and fill it with delicious pizza flavors. And it just hit the mark in a way that created so much excitement for us internally. You know, when I remember founding the company a decade plus ago, and having that first bite on the original cheese bread and that moment of like, this is special. That is just, it's back again with the pizza bites. And we're pretty excited about that product line. We feel like there's a lot of opportunity to disrupt a massive market of a very well-known category. Mm-hmm. And we bring in the better for you, cheesiness, simple, wholesome ingredients, everything that our brand does well.
Yes.
And that product line is also just launching in a big way and getting a ton of traction.
So yes, it is.
We're pumped. We're pumped about the pizza bites. They're doing well, and we're going to keep building on that.
That's so cool. You know, one of the, I'm just, of course, super fan from way before, from early on, but one of the things that really stuck in my mind from the last time that we were talking together was kind of the way you look at building your business, and for you professionally, kind of making some comparisons between the US market and the Brazilian marketplace from as a business owner and as an employee. Now, you have got, and this is a really strange segue, but you have got some exciting news that I can't wait for you to talk about. This kind of related to this, you know, you've always been really dedicated, providing countless hours to uplifting minority entrepreneurs and helping them succeed just based off of your experiences. So I think it comes as no surprise that you're launching the Latino Entrepreneur Accelerator Program. Tell us more about this program.
Yeah, very excited about this, Diana. It's a big project for us that is very near and dear to my heart. And so, you know, I'm very grateful that Rosy Bites, after 10 years, has, you know, developed into this strong, growing, wonderful brand that we have with more resources and with, you know, a great following and distribution and so on. And so I am very passionate about helping others. I, you know, in the journey of growing this business, I've been helped along the way. We all have, all of us that have achieved anything meaningful, you know, we've been kind of helped along the way in many ways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by peers, by mentors, by what have you. And so That has been a huge, like, important point for me. And so in turn, I am very passionate about helping others succeed. And in our industry, there's so many lessons and so many mistakes. It's, you know, it is not easy to make a business viable.
Yeah.
And there's so many pitfalls that can take you down.
Yeah.
So I launched the Latino Entrepreneur Accelerator Program to organize the give back. And so the way the program works is that it's a grant program. Okay. That is sponsored by BrasiBytes. And so we are, inviting Latino business owners and founders to submit, and they will have a chance to win a $10,000 business grant. So no strings attached, no equity, no like rules of like you have to spend the money here, there, that are very challenging for entrepreneurs when, you know, there's a lot of rules and regulations. And most importantly, on top of that, we're going to be offering 12 weeks of organized mentorship directly from me and my team of experts. So we have an amazing team here, resources in finance, e-commerce, ops, you name it, right? Sales and marketing, all those things that we are going to be offering that in a very tailored way over the course of 12 weeks. So our objective with that is to organize the giving back a piece and hope that we can uplift an upcoming entrepreneur, and we're very excited about the program.
That's awesome. What inspired you to launch this? Why this and why now?
It goes back to that fact of just like the passion for giving back, the position that BrasiBytes is in. We're able to do that now. And sort of like, There's an important piece of the program as in the criteria of the program where we, in order to qualify for the program, you have to have under $1 million in revenue, annual revenue for your business.
Okay.
And so that is a very important point because in my experience and in my opinion, until you achieve or you're near that $1 million in revenue annually, it is very hard to get attention. It's very hard to get investors. It's very hard to make your business viable. And so I felt like that is a very important criteria that's going to allow us to help in the most critical time of the journey.
That's great and super important. Are you using your own journey as a template for this program in any way?
Definitely. I mean, you know, the journey of BrasiBytes is like now 12 years long. It's had all kinds of like ups and downs and crazy things like Shark Tank, bootstrapping, private equity investment, team, you name it, right? It just gets more fun all the time. And when I look back and I look at like, what was the most critical time of my journey? Until we got to that point, and I think $1 million in revenue annually, there's a lot that comes along with it. Mm-hmm. It means that your product has had some acceptance.
Yeah.
By the consumers, that the retailer buyers are saying yes to you more often, that you've been able to get some traction. So until you get to that point, I mean, the amount of rejection that you face is staggering. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to us. That's our story, right? Mm-hmm. It took us 5 years to get there. It took us a long time. And it was a lot of grind and it was a journey that, you know, ended up paying off. It was an amazing journey, but it was a long one. Mm-hmm. So I felt like, okay, where were the times that you almost give up when you were trying? That is that window. And so I that's the BrasiBytes story, and that criteria kind of plays. It's very connected to that.
Great. I love that. And what's wonderful is that because you've been there, sometimes you can articulate it and identify it in a different way than somebody who hasn't gone through that journey, and having you lead that is really powerful. So that's great. I think it's an amazing opportunity to grow leadership, given that we need to better fill our leadership pipeline as a culture. I read that only 4% of large U.S. companies' most senior executives are Latinos. compared with a general population of roughly 18.5, 18.7%. And knowing that leaders are often grown from an entrepreneurial space or opportunity, that I feel like this is a great opportunity to just help the bridge that gap between, you know, where we need to be and what is actually happening right now. Does that kind of sit with you, right? Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Oh, it totally sits with me. You know, there is a gap for sure. And so, you know, our program is working towards like trying to, you know, bridge that gap and reduce that gap. I think representation is so important.
Yeah.
I see that with the Brazzy Bites brand, just like representation for like a story of an immigrant, of like a Latino and a female founder, all of those components. Mm-hmm. And it representation is important. Empowerment is important. Resources. And, you know, when you're building a business and you're building your skills, that's going to end up leading you to that leadership role, to that boardroom seat. You have those moments in your development where you need help, where you need somebody to show you the way. You have to have a little bit of luck. You have to have the resources, right? And so the fact that this program gets in the weeds with the entrepreneur and helps them navigate, and it's going to be a great chance, a best shot of success, and to uplift them into new heights, you know, and give them best chance to the company. And I think one of the things that founders do well that we're going to be bringing to this program is just being like raw advice, right? Mm-hmm. Just never telling people like everybody as founder runs their company, you know your business, you should know your industry and your sub-segment better than anyone else.
Right.
But I think when founders are giving advice to founders, business owners giving advice to business owners, you just cut to the chase. You just don't sugarcoat it. And, you know... No. And then you kind of like, but it's really up to that own founder and entrepreneur to take that information, redeploy to their business and go to that. But I think representation is hugely important, support is hugely important. And the more Latinos we have in leadership roles, the more diversity we have, the more female founders. I'm really passionate about that piece as well. It's gonna, the more will come and so that gap that you mentioned from population to the representation is going to start getting smaller.
That's great. And is this program limited to CPG?
It is limited to CPG. Okay. It is not limited to food.
We're obviously
a food company. Mm-hmm. And we love the food and beverage space, but we expanded to CPG, but it is CPG focused. But maybe if you have an apparel business, if you know there's other goods that you might be selling, that is fine. Okay. That is fine to apply.
Okay.
But that's what we know, you know, that's what we do best. And so that's where we think we can help the most.
Yes. And, you know, kind of going back to what you were talking about earlier, in those early years of business, especially those first, I want to say the first five, usually they say the first 10 are the rockiest, but the first five is what I've seen a lot of like, real volatility in the startup. And knowing that about 50% of businesses fail in those first 5 years, what are you hoping this program will help them walk away with? Like, are you looking to make it less rocky or just a supportive network? All of the above?
All of the above. Definitely all of the above, but like less rocky. Because what happens is, you know, a supportive network is essential, I think, to any business that's going to be successful. I think that's critical. And that comes in different shapes throughout the journey. I don't think it's maybe the same network that is follows you along the whole journey, right? Mm-hmm. When you're like super young, starting up, you need a network of people that are kind of going through the same thing you're going through. And maybe like a few people that are ahead of you that can navigate. That I feel, and that sort of, and as your brand evolves, your network needs to change sometimes with that so you can have the best support team. I find that to be absolutely essential. Mm-hmm. Also found that if you're like super young startup and you're just getting a recipe to market off the ground, you go to the CEO of like a $50-100 million brand, maybe, you know, $500 million, that person is not going to be able to help you that much.
Yeah.
Right. And I find that sometimes people are like, oh my, I have access to the CEO of, you know, a giant company. I mean, you're so far removed from the needs.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I also think that, and I've seen this happen too, where somebody will, startup-y or entrepreneurial, young entrepreneur companies will often have, sometimes VC will come in and they'll be they'll have years and years of experience and they'll have worked with really big organizations, and the entrepreneurs will feel like the VCs are offering advice that is infallible. And oftentimes we have the same kind of feedback that you're talking about, where it's like, if that VC is not in the hot seat or hasn't been in the hot seat, which is what I think an entrepreneurial leadership is you're in the hot seat all the time. If that person hasn't been in the hot seat in the last 5 years, they can give you advice, but you really need to go to somebody else who has been in the trenches and is doing the work or has been doing the hard work. I'm not saying that advice is incorrect. I'm just saying that you forget.
You forget. And so then you go back to your question. I think that, you know, your network is absolutely huge. We're hoping to help a little bit with that in that moment, right? I also think it's that moment of the journey. But the sort of making it less rocky, I think it's going to be a bigger impact that we can make, because it's the mistakes, it's those decisions, right? You're running a business, especially a startup, like in the young years, you're making hundreds of decisions a day.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're so head down and then you just go. And so it's this opportunity to encourage a founder to lift the head a bit. Let's explore this stuff in a very realistic way.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. In a very realistic way. You have going to have limited resources, you know, and so you gotta have that type of approach, I think.
Yeah, I agreed. Well, so let's talk about the application process for those that are interested, or for those that are thinking about a friend or somebody in their community that they think would be interested in this. Where do people learn about, where's the application? How do they do it? Is it, you know, a 40-page dissertation? Like, let's talk a little bit about that a little.
You know, I mentioned I'm making this simple, no, like, you know, strings attached. So we also made the application simple. So let's talk about the criteria for a minute, because I think that's important. Mm-hmm. So the criteria I mentioned, that it has to be a CPG business. It has to be under $1 million in revenue, but it also has to be active, you know, an active website. The business has to be selling, you know, goods out there. It's, if you're just in the ideation phase, that is not the right program for you.
Yes.
So if you're in business, you're selling goods, you're in CPG, and you're under $1 million. So that's very simple. The Latino piece is also a criteria. So one of the founders and or business owners must be a Latino. What qualifies as a Latino? You can visit our site, because there's a huge list of what a Latino means. Sort of word can, like, it can be confusing. It's like, what is a Latino? There's a list of countries that qualify you as a Latino. So how do you enter? So the applications are open during Latin Heritage Month.
Oh, hey. Yes.
The Latin Heritage Month runs mid-September through mid-October. Our the program application window is between mid-September 15th and the end of October, October 28th. And how to apply? You go to brazybites.com. In the menu there, you're going to see a tab that takes you to the application. It's very clear where to go. So brazybites.com. Then it reminds you of all the criteria on all the things that I'm telling you here. So if you know, somebody's missing a beat, then write down, no worries, go to the site. And then in there, it like gives you sense to an application page. And the application page is very simple. It's going to ask you questions about what your business is, what your, like, why do you want to apply, your vision, what are you going to do with the money? That, again, that's not, we're not putting a requirement on that, but we're curious about that. Mm-hmm. They're just indicating to us, like, what are you thinking about you need money for, mm-hmm. you know? And then there's an option to submit a video or submit pictures. That's optional. And then you mm-hmm. submit. We are going, so the application process is going to close at the end of October. We will be reviewing, the whole BrazyBikes team will be involved as a panel, selecting the winner. Mm-hmm. And then the winner, the program begins in Q1 of next year. And
okay.
that's, you know, when they get the check and we get them on schedule. One thing to know, Diana, that's important, because we want to give back so much and we're like, oh my God, why don't we, can't we do that for like 10 companies, right? But, you know, we're still running a business. time is
yes.
not infinite. I wish it was. We decided there is sort of like the if you didn't make the cut by you're in the top three, we're going to, in addition to the winner, we're going to give three up and comers exposure to our brand. So we have a really robust social following, huge email list, a community of almost 500,000, very passionate followers. And so we're going to use our platform to raise awareness for these brands. And so we're going to tell our fans about them and the why we love them and why they, you know, they were almost made the cut on the program.
That's awesome. That's so great. This is super exciting. And I love that. I love the focus and the emphasis. I think it's really wonderful to see just like we're adding, like I'm seeing other efforts. Naturally Network is doing some amazing stuff with minority owned businesses. And I think that representation, that I feel like the heavy lifting or the rowing is really happening right now. And I'm happy to share this with our Gooder community. So thank you for coming onto the show.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm
happy to be here. And, you know, I am happy to see all those other programs coming up. I feel like I've been seeing more of them. And
yeah,
it's great. You know, we need more of that, more representation, more programs, more support.
Yes.
It's an industry effort.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, we're wrapping up our time together. It has been so great talking with you, Jania. To those of you, just a reminder, we've been talking with Jania Rocha, co-founder and CMO of BrazyBikes. I want to thank you for your time again today, Jania. And I'm so happy to hear about this program and love. I'm going to go down. There's a Kroger that's walking distance from my house, so I'm going to make an effort to go down today. Need to get my hands on those breakfast sandwiches because school's coming and the kids need some variety and they need some BrazyBikes. We go through the Costco size bags of the BrazyBikes all the time. So it's a no-brainer to get the breakfast products for sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I want to thank all of you listeners for your time today. Hey, listen, if you like this specific episode or if you know somebody that could benefit from this Latino Entrepreneur Access Program, please share it with them. They can learn more about it here. We can get more information also at the BrazyBikes website. Otherwise, I'm going to wish you all a great day. And then we're going to catch you next time on the Gooder Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you haven't already, be sure to click subscribe and share with your network. Until next time, be well and do gooder.